Blog Talk Radio.
Number is 657-383-1495, 657-383-1495. Calling family, we need to hear from you tonight. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, family. Tonight's reading will be taken from 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. And it reads, "For there shall be a time when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their own desires, they shall eat up for themselves teachers tickling the ears. And they shall indeed turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myth." That ends the reading of 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shetodah, Elder Aharon, for the introduction, and Elder Eber for the scripture reading. All right. Welcome, welcome to the Elders Speak Show from the Hebrew Israelite Nation. I'm Elder Yael. And, of course, tonight we're going to be talking about the title of our program tonight is The New Counterfeit Movement, okay? Because we've got some real things that are going on out there that is really dangerous. And so we want to try to get this word out, the message out, to warn our people. Don't let yourself get caught up and be deceived, led astray by anybody who is out there trying to tell you, you know, certain things you don't have to do. You don't have to listen to the laws of Yah. You know, you don't have to be obedient to his word, his commandments, and so forth. You just, because Jesus done did it all for you, okay? That's just, you know, ludicrous. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, all right? What I want to do is kind of take a look at a scripture here because it's so important. We want to always stay with the word so that we can know, because we know that Satan is always trying to misrepresent us as the children of Israel. And that's what he's been doing all of these 400 years, more than that, but, you know, at least these particularly these 400 years that we've been over here in this captivity. So what I want to do is look at something here. And I'm just going to start in Joel chapter 3, okay? And looking at verse 1, it says, "For look, in those days," now this is the word of Yah, okay? "And at that time, when I turn back the captivity of Yehuda and Jerusalem, that I shall gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I shall enter into judgment with them there for my people, my inheritance, Israel." You see, we are Yah's inheritance. Let's not forget that. We need to get that in our head, okay? "Whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land." You see, divided up the land, Israel. You know, I was just looking at something in the news where even over there right now, these people, these Israelis, I guess I can just go on and say it, the synagogue of Satan, according to Revelation 3:9 and 2:9, they are over there right now. The Hebrews that are there, they are now offering them $3,500 to either leave the land or go to prison. This is just ludicrous. These people are rotten. I mean, you know, they ain't changed from since the time that they have taken over us, and we have been brought all into these captivities and so forth. These people are rotten, okay? And let me read on. It says that they have cast lots for my people and have given a young man for a whore and sold a girl for wine and drink. And also, what are you to me, O Zor and Zidon and all these coasts of Philistia? Are you repaying me? And if you are repaying me, I would swiftly and speedily return your reward on your own head." See, you don't mess with Yah, okay? You think you're doing something smart, but I tell you what, you cannot stop what Yah has started, you know? Nobody can stop it. You know, let's read on. Look at what it says here in verse 5. "For you have taken my silver and my gold and brought my treasures into your temples. And the people of Yehuda and the people of Jerusalem you have sold to the sons of Yawan." okay? You one of the Greeks and the Romans, okay? You have souls to remove them far from their borders. See, I am stirred. You better listen to this now, okay? Because I know you demons out there is thinking that you can join with Satan and fight against Yah's work, okay? So let's just look on here. This is what Yah said. I, Yah, am stirring them up out of the place to which you have sold them, and I shall return on your own head what you have done. Okay? So you better listen to what Yah is saying, because you cannot win against Yah. Okay? You can play crazy if you want to, for the love of money or whatever. Okay? This thing is going to turn the back upon your own head. He says, and he says, shall sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Yahudah, and they shall sell them to the Shebites, okay, to a nation far off, for Yah has spoken. Now, these are the words of Yah. So this is why we're bringing this message out tonight here, because we see counterfeit. Something is trying to hinder, trying to block the people of Yah, the Hebrew Israelite people here, trying to keep them enshrouded in darkness so that they don't see the light, the work that Yah is doing amongst his people right now. He's waking us up. That's what he means. He said, I am stirring them up. All right? So this is why we want to talk about these things tonight. And we want to expose everything we can that Yah allows us. We want to bring it out and show so that our people can be awakened. You know, this is a concern for the nation of Israel, because we know Satan is a very good deceiver. I mean, he's got people going out there and actually, you know, as far as I can see, just keeping them held down in darkness, you know. So this is not good. This is not good. So, elders, I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor, because this is an exciting message that we have tonight. And we want to just go ahead on and let Yah move. Let him do what he's going to do, and so that those who are blessed to hear Yah's word that he's given through us tonight, that we hope and pray that you be blessed by it. So hallelujah, 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 elder.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Elder Yagil. Tonight is a special night. This is a no-holds-bars night. No-holds-bars. Souls are at stake. This is serious business. This is not entertainment. We're not up on the pulpit preaching to you, pooping and hollering, shouting. This is just... found doctrine that we're going to bring forth tonight, and this is an expose also. We're exposing, just like the prophet Jeremiah, just like Yah instructed us to do through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1, where he says to root out and to pull down. To root out means to expose, bring out into the open. Don't let it hide under a shell. Don't let it hide under a rock. Root it out and pull it down. And that's what we're doing tonight. So you got four elders coming strong. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to root out and we're going to expose. Because people don't understand, this is not a movement. It's awakening to who we are, the so-called black men and women of the Western Hemisphere, and scattered all throughout the four corners. But that's where we're dwelling right now, in the Western Hemisphere. This awakening to who we are, the people of the book, the descendants of the ancient Israelites of the Bible, the people of the book, this awakening was not of man. This awakening is of Yah himself, Almighty Yah. So it cannot be infiltrated and tore down by man. It can't be destroyed by man. If you read the book of Psalms and say, this is Yah's doing. I know the King James say this is the Lord's doing, but this is Yah's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. That means it's astonishing. It's astonishing right before our eyes. We couldn't have fathomed that this would happen 20 years ago, many of us. Now, I know some of us came into this earlier, but the great majority of us, it's probably been over the last 20 years, it's been a slow dribble at first, and then all of a sudden it's just been an onslaught. It's like the levees broke, and it's just been a gully washer. People from all over the globe, Hebrews from all over the globe, are waking up. They can't stop it. The Ashkenazis, who own all the airwaves, radio, television, Hollywood, all the media, the print media, the big publishing houses, with all their power and all their might, they can't even stop it. They have their own time turning on them. Started off with Arthur Koestler way back when he penned the book, The 13th Tribe, exposing his own brethren, that group, that European, white European group called the Ashkenazi Jews, who are really just the Khazars, is not the people of the book. And from there has just been a steady stream of people. You got Benjamin Friedman with his famous address in 1961 at the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. You can still pull him up to our listening audience out there. You can still pull him up, Benjamin Friedman, and listen to his 1.5 or 2 hour address. He's an Ashkenazi. So was Arthur Koestler. And he's exposing it all. You can later pull up the works of Shlomo Sand. He still lives in Israel, as far as I know. In his book, The Invention of the Jewish People, it goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
You got their own turning on them because they know this is a futile effort to try to fight against the Most High. It's just foolishness. This is not man's doing. This is not going to fizzle out like the Black Panther movement. You can't hire a J. Edgar Hoover, FBI, to try to infiltrate and destroy this. This is not of man. This is not the civil rights movement. You can't hire someone to assassinate a Martin Luther King and think it's going to die. This is not of man. This is of the Most High. I want to get into the word. It says, the book of Jude, it says, for there are certain men that have crept in unawares. So we're exposing the effort that is being made today. There are these certain doctrines, verse 4, there are these certain doctrines, these men carrying this certain defiled doctrine. They've crept in unawares. You know how they do that? Because here's their formula. This awakening to who we are, that we are indeed the children of Israel, it has taken on such a snowball effect. And so many people have left this pagan religion called Christianity, and they're turning back, just like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, it says, it's my people, that's us, the people of the book, who are called by my name. We know him as Abba Yah, Father Yah, Creator Yah. He said, call by my name. So we're his people, and we're calling them by his name. It says, we'll turn from their wicked ways. That means all of our paganism. Come out of Islam. Come out of Christianity. Come out of all these religions. Come out of your atheism. Atheist. You're agnostic. Come out of all that foolishness. The lust and all this foolishness. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Come out of all of this. And he says, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. He says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. He will heal us as a nation of people. So they're turning from this. They're turning. They're coming out of these dead religions, because that's the thing they have to do from us. They took our culture and they gave us theirs. They gave us, they took our laws, statutes, and commandments that our Creator gave us, and they gave us their pagan Catholic, their pagan Roman religion.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught us that their deity is looks like them. It's white as snow. And so we should be happy to have masters like them. So here we are. And you know, way back then, when our ancestors came across these shores, way back then, they were starting this divide and conquer thing. They would pull a few of the so-called good Negroes aside, and they would say, you know, you look kind of smart. We'll teach you a few scriptures, and you read it to your people. We'll give you one day a week. You read to your people and you tell them to obey us, and God will, the God of the Bible, the white God will bless them, and he'll get everything straight up in heaven. You guys won't have to live like this if you just be good servants, good niggas. You will get a ticket to heaven, and you won't have to worry about working out in these cotton fields no more. So they got a few good Negroes, and they gave them special favors, called them preachers of the gospel, and they started deceiving their own people, telling them to work hard, and, you know, don't buck against their masters and everything. And these preachers did their job real good. They had the gift of gab. You know, they should have been using that gift to teach the truth, but they used that gift for unrighteous, pretty much like this guy here in the book of Jude. So if we go into chapter 11, not only this false doctrine crept in, it says, but woe unto them. It says, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. See, Balaam was one of those guys. Greedily after the error of Balaam for what? Here's the motive. For reward. For reward. Never discount a motive. Don't think it's a small thing. That motive is a big thing. For reward. And look, and perished, that was the end of them, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So they went greedily after their lust, after the error of Balaam, for reward. So these people were rewarded. Now, I'm just giving a little historical context because we're setting the foundation because we're going to hit them hard. So that was their motive. Reward. What was their reward back then? Well, they got to sit on their behinds and grow a little fat while the other ones was out there sweating and, you know, out in the hot sun. They got to sit down a little longer, drink a little more water, stay in the shade a little longer. And if it's somebody they had their lustful eyes on, some female, they just told their master, and master would kind of arrange things, make sure him and that female is, you know, off to themselves at certain times of the day or night. And so they had all these favors. All they had to do was keep deceiving the people. Well, the Bible said we reap what we sow, right? Now, we're no judges, because judging means sentencing. That's what judges do on the bench, right? They cast a sentence. So we're not casting sentence, but the Bible gives us a pretty good idea where they're going to spend their eternal destiny. Let's bring it forward to today. Mm-hmm. We got these same people. So these people way back when we came over here, the masters gave them certain rewards, and they're still doing the same thing, elders. They're giving these crooked, wicked men and women now these same little trinkets, these rewards. They don't have to work hard. Many of them ain't working at all. Most of these preachers never had a real job. But they get the they get the benefits. They get the nice cars. They get the house. They still getting the women, or some of them are getting the men and the boys. They got the money. They don't have to pay taxes. And they get the prestige. They get to join these lodges called Prince Halls. Masons. So they still got these favors. In 400 years, they don't want to give it up. So you got this great awakening and saying it's time for my people to wake up. But look who's at, look who's on the forefront and trying to resist this awakening. These same devils look like us, talk like us, still got that silvery tongue, and still getting all those benefits for their wicked ways. But you know what? The buck stops here. They're not getting away with it this time because, like we said earlier, this is not man. This is not man's movement. This is Yah's movement. And guess what? The sand clock is almost out of sand. It's almost out. 400 years, it's almost up. So what they're doing, elders, what they're doing is they see the people leaving the churches by the droves because people are tired of just being entertained and paying their fee. You know, when you go to a ball game, you pay your tickets and, you know, you take a family of four, you might be out of $200. So people go to these churches and they put their fee in. They wait for the entertainment to start, the choir, the music, the preacher, bringing them into an emotional frenzy. After 20 or so years, people get tired of that. So when this new breath of fresh air, this new wind of truth comes, people are leaving those churches like wildfire. And I was one of them. So what is this doing? It's hurting their pocketbooks. It's hurting them, hitting them where it hurts. So what are they doing? They devise evil plans. That's why verse 4 says a certain doctrine has crept in unaware. It's crept in. You know how I was able to creep? Because they said, okay, you can't beat them, join them. So what they did, instead of just outright trying to say, hey, these things, this is false, this movement is false, this is just another movement like the Black Panthers and everything, it's going to fizzle out soon. No, they know it wasn't that. They could see it was a much higher power behind the scenes. But still, their wickedness would not let them humble themselves. So they said, you know what, I'm not going to be able to beat this. Our people are leaving. So what they did, they said, okay, we agree. You know, they look, they just say, we agree. This movement is of Yah. This is a great movement. We are the Israelites. They agreed. But they didn't agree all the way. So they, you know, like Shaul said, a little leaven. Leaven is the whole lump. It perverts the whole lump of truth. So they said, we agree. You don't have to leave anymore. You don't have to leave. You guys stay here. And the few that left, come back. I preach the same doctrine. We are the Israelites. The Ashkenazis are not Israelites. We're the Israelites. They said, but you can stay right here in church. But Yah told us to come all the way out. Come out of paganism. Come out of Rome. But they said, you can stay right here. You're used to here. You've been here all your life. Your mother was here. Your grandmother was here. You don't have to run and leave. So they say, you're Israelites right here in church. But what they did, elders, they said, you can be Israelites, but you can remain a Christian. Now, that's just like night and day. What the Bible even said, what agreement have light with darkness? What concord have Messiah with Baal? Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. That's like mixing oil and water. Probably did that in your junior high school class. You can't. The two won't mix. The oil's going to float to the top. But they're trying to mix it. They're trying to mix it. And why are they trying to do it? They're trying to say, you can know who you are, your heritage. We could be awakened to our heritage, but stay Christian, because that's where their pocketbooks is. That's where the tithe. You know how they always try to say the law is done away with? They use Paul and they use the Messiah himself. When those two men Those were the main men who say you can't keep breaking the law. Yahushua say, don't think I've come to destroy the law. I came to do just the opposite. I come to embody the law. I come to bring clearness and clarity to the law. I didn't come to destroy it. And he said, matter of fact, heaven and earth will pass away first before one jot, before one piece of this law is done away with. And he said, matter of fact, if you don't keep it, and if you tell men not to keep it, like these devils are doing, he said, those in the heavenly host will look down on you and call you the least. And he said the opposite. If you keep it and teach other men to keep it, those in the heavenly host will look down and say, you are great. You're going to be great. You're going to make it into the kingdom. So they lied on Yahushua. They lied on Paul. What did they say about Paul? Right here they says, let me turn there right quick, Elder, and then I'm going to let the other elders come up. I'm going to go to Romans. I'm standing New Testament on purpose. I've been doing that for the last 2 weeks because, you know, they've been so deceived, they think the Old Testament is done away with. So we stand in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 for now. It says, I'm reading the King James, say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Stay right there. I'm going to go now to 1 John, and we're going to go to chapter 3 because there's a definition that came up. We can't go no further till we define. Okay, I want every so-called Christian brother and sister listening to me. I want you to follow along either in your Bible or listen intently and go back tonight and read it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. I mean, let's see. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. That's correct. So, what did Shaul say? He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, what is sin? So we're in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Here's the definition. Whosoever committed sin, that's the same word that Shaul used, transgresseth also the law. For sin, this is the pure definition, for sin is the transgression of the law. Okay, everybody got that? It's plain and it's simple. Sin is the transgression of the law. So let's reread that with the definition. Let's go to our dear Apostle Shaul. And we're going to read it in its definition form. It says, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to transgress the law? You just got the definition. Shall we continue to transgress the law that grace may abound? You know the teachers in the church. Oh, we're under grace. We're under grace. We're not under law no more. Shaul just said, shall we continue to transgress the law that grace may abound? What is his answer? He asked the question and he gave the answer. He said, Yah forbid. That means no. Some people who have a stronger language than me, they probably say A-E-L-L, no. That means no. That's just a period after that. It was an emphatic statement, emphatic answer. He said, Yah forbid. He said, no. How shall we, which are dead in sin, live any longer then? How could you keep continuing to transgress the law? It says, now we're going to go to verse 15. It say, what then? Shall we transgress the law because we are not under the law, but under grace? It say, Yah forbid. Now, elders, we all know what law he's talking about. When did Yahushua come? Read Hebrews chapter 7. That one chapter will explain everything to any Christian who has an ear to hear and a heart to receive. That law, the priesthood was changed. You don't see anybody killing goats anymore, bulls, rams, lambs, because the priesthood was changed. But no longer the priesthood of Aaron, when the priesthood of Melchizedek. So we don't have the lineage of the Levite high priest anymore. Yehoshua is our high priest eternally. So that's what changed. That law. What did the Zondervan, I believe, call it the ceremonial law? That's the only thing that's changed. They keep talking about, oh, in Galatians say we're under. No, the ceremonial. That's why you don't die anymore when you commit adultery. Well, you don't die the quick death. That's the grace. The penalty of the law is not immediate anymore. But what the church teaches, oh, you can go ahead and sin. I'm not going to read this one, but I want the listeners to read this, to go to 2 Peter 3 and 15. And you could go down to verse 17, too. You will see how the church have tried to misconstrue and misinterpret what our dear beloved brother Shaul, Apostle Paul, has said. Peter, and I'm paraphrasing, Peter said these people intentionally have tried to pervert and misconstrue what our dear Apostle Paul said. And he said they tried to wrestle it away. They tried to wrestle the truth out of it and tried to pervert it. And that's what they have done, to say he says we don't have to keep the law anymore. That's a lie. They said the same thing about Yehoshua, that his death somehow means we don't have to keep the law. That's a lie. Yehoshua was on record before he was crucified. He said, don't say that I came to keep take away the law. And he even said, if you're talking about doing works in my name, and you're not keeping that law, I'm going to say, depart from me, you that work lawlessness. What's lawlessness? Iniquity. You who transgress the law. So, elders, that's what they're doing. I just built the first part of this. They're crept in unaware. They crept in by their subtlety. It's all about subtlety. They said, we're going to agree with them. But then it's called bait and hook. We're going to agree with them. That's the bait and switch, rather. We're going to agree with them. And they got a lot of us who's been in this walk happy, because of course we're happy that our brothers in the churches are waking up. Of course we're happy. I mean, you've got to rejoice. But then what they do, that old bait and switch. The people in their church took the bait. Oh, my pastor believes. I don't have to leave the church. But then he says, no, don't you keep that law. Don't you start thinking we're going to change worship from the sun god's day to the true Sabbath. No, we don't have to do that. Don't think we're going to stop eating his pork chops. No, even though our Father Yah said that's not even meat. He described for us what is meat. What we eat in the sea, what we eat the birds that fly, what we eat, the things that creep on the ground, the cattle, and also what we eat, the insect life. He described it. Those other things are not food. But he's saying you could eat the cockroaches of the sea. You could eat anything. So they're totally defiled. And they say, you don't have to keep the law. Yehoshua died for that. Lying on our Mashiach himself, lying on his taught ones, his apostles, like Apostle Paul. So they bait and switch. That's how they crept in unawares. It was a slow, subtle con. And what was it get them? Well, temporarily, it might get them. They'll still get their tithes. They'll still get their offering. They'll still get their pastor anniversary church fund, first lady birthday fund, hey, all that foolishness they be having. I done forgot. It was so many, couldn't remember all the stuff they have. It's all about money. So he could keep driving his Cadillacs, he'd keep buying his summer homes, keep having his women or in these different cities, or his little boys in these different cities. get to keep that lifestyle, keep going to the Mason Lodge. They keep their worldly, fleshly, sinful, corrupt lifestyle. So we're exposing them. And before I yield, Elder, and I'll come back, but I'm going to yield time. Before I yield, it's this one pastor. This one pastor. And I usually don't say names. But I'm not giving a name. I'm just giving the title of a video. So I'm officially giving the title of a video. How about that? All our listening audience, I want them to write this down. Or if they're online, they could actually go to YouTube and put this in there. Put this in the search field. Here's the title of the video. Okay? That's all I'm doing. Giving a title, not a name, a title of the video. The title is Pastor Omar Still a Christian. Again, that title is Pastor Omar, and Omar is spelled O-M-A-R, O-M-A-R. So it says Pastor Omar, Still a Christian. That's the title of this video. It's 1 minute and 1 second long. That video is 1 minute and 1 second long. But in that short time, you're going to see a perfect example of all of the things that I've just talked about come into play. How it, this little subtleness, this demonic subtleness have crept in. Our people were happy. Even in that place of worship, when you look at that video, they were taught that you are the people of the book, and rightfully so. But then when some of them are getting happy and they're starting to study on their own and do their research, some of these men and women have come into that place with their tassels on, and, man, they're proud. They're reclaiming their heritage. They rightfully should. But guess what? You'll see this person meet them and say, oh, you don't have to do that. That's getting a little weird on me. You know, you don't have to wear these fringes. Getting a little strange on me. He'd say, well, we ain't doing that law stuff. Now, we just read in 1 John a definition of that. 1 John 3 and 4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. So he's basically saying, we ain't going to stop transgressing the law. We ain't going to do that. We ain't gonna stop transgressing the law. He said that's a cult. He said, no, you can't. We ain't going to be telling you what to eat. We ain't going to teach that. You know, he's going against the dietary. Everything about the law. He says, when you get into law, when you get into transgression, remember Yahushua says, he's going to tell those at the end of judgment, he says, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you did. You could preach like an angel. He says, I'm going to tell you at judgment, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Law, iniquity. You that transgress the law. You could take that iniquity, what he said, straight to 1 John 3 and 4. He's going to say, depart from me. He's going to say, because I already left on record, I didn't come to do away with the law. He said, I even told you emphatically, the law is not going to be done away with. Heaven and earth would pass away first. Look out the window. Heaven and earth ain't passed away. He said, I come to strengthen. I come to embody it. I'm the embodiment. I'm the personification of it. I come to bring clear clarity to the law. One example, elders, you know, when it says, you know, thou shalt not murder. Here's an example of that clarity. He said, Yahshua even say, it has been said, thou shalt not commit murder. He said, but I say, here's the clarity. He says, if you hate your brother without a cause, you have committed murder. You committed in your heart. He said, it has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, let me bring some clarity to that. I say, if you look on a woman to lust, you have already committed adultery in your heart. He come to bring clarity to the law. So you got this person on this video saying, that's a code. He said, once you start keeping the law, we no longer a church. We become a cult. So you got this man on record saying you keep the law, you're a cult, and trying to shame his members into transgressing. Because what does that do, the weak members? Oh, I want to be a part of this church. Oh, I'm a transgress. I'm going to keep transgressing the law like I always have. And he said, he's going to say depart at that time. This man could be sentencing people to hell, sentencing people to Yahshua, who's going to say, depart from me, you that chose to work iniquity. And when I come back, Elder, I'm going to say it's two sides of that. I just got on the leaders, those who are deceiving. But when I come back, I want to talk about those who want to be deceived, because it takes two to tangle. It takes two to play the game. So you got the deceivers, those who are the wolves in sheep's clothing, those who have crept in, but you got those who want to be deceived. And our brother, our prophet Isaiah, chapter 30, and Jeremiah, chapter 5, they hit the hammer on the head, the nail on the head with that. But I'm going to yield time, because they're not fighting against men. They're fighting against Yah, and they're not going to win. So everybody, I hope you wrote down that video. We're here to expose. We're taking no prisoners tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Elder. Hallelujah. So true. We're here to expose tonight, to tell you the truth, and to let you know the reason why they've done away with the Old Testament. Yah Torah is law. Because when they put it away, they can go ahead and sin and commit adultery and commit lawlessness, and it doesn't mean nothing to them, because they don't have the law to hold to certain standards, because the law shows you where you are going wrong. It shows you your fault. And without the law, they will not be able to see their fault, because they don't want to see their fault. That's why they've done away with the Old Testament. They've done away with Yah Torah. They say it's no longer in you. Because of that, they continue to be lawless. They continue to be wicked. They continue to commit sin, because there's nothing that touch their conscience when they do these things, because they totally done away with the law. Tonight, we just want to touch briefly on some of the things that you need to watch out for with these false teachers. Because these false teachers, they are slick, they are cunning, they know how to get around you. And the reason why they know how to get around those in the church is because we are not reading our Bible, we're not studying our Bible, to see and to know, twist your word. When they add to your word, when they take away from your word, when they contradict or nullify the truth given in your word. Because we're not reading and study, we don't know when they twist his word. So tonight, as we come to give you a glimpse of your truth, a glimpse of how to better prepare yourself to see when they are coming, so you can move out of their way, so you can leave their churches, so you can worship and fellowship with the Creator, not man God, what man has put forth for you to worship. When you know that, you'll be in a better place. Because there are teachers out there who are really leading people astray for the sake of money, for the sake of lawlessness, for the sake of wickedness, and they really don't care. So if you fear us about being saved, you better start paying attention and listen to what the elders have to say tonight. because we only deal with the Yahshua. Galatians 1:6-9 reads, I marvel that you are so readily turning away from him who called you in the favor of Messiah to a different good news, which is not another, only there are some who are troubling you and wishing to pervert the good news of the Messiah. However, even if we are a messenger out of heaven, bring a good news to you besides what we announce to you in be a curse. So you see, family, these people are twisting your word. The scripture said, let him be a curse. And it's the same wickedness and the curse they are bringing to you. I'll continue 9. As we have said before, and now I said again, if anyone bring a good news to you beside what you have received, let him be a curse. For do I not persuade men, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I should not be a servant of Messiah. Do you see that, family? There are so many people in the church trying to please this wicked pastor. And they continue to do that, although they mislead them and take them into places that they're not supposed to. And make known to you, brothers, that the good news announced by me is not according to man. It's right there. The good news is not man's word. It's your word. So when you come and twist it and turn it, whether it's to pull money out your pocket, whether it's to take it to bed with them, because that's what they're doing, all on, you know, lying and all that stuff, that is not your word. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but through a revelation of Yahushua Messiah. We got to understand, when we're dealing with the scripture, we're dealing with Yah words, not man words. So that's why it's so important for you to read and understand this book, because this is the only book can save you. And if you don't study to show yourself approved, then they're going to come, twist your truth, and you don't know. And you're going to end up where they take you. So we're saying tonight, family, you need to start to read this beautiful book, this good book that put forth for our salvation, that many of us just open it and turn our head the other way. Or we go to these Christian churches and they take one passage out of it and twist it and turn it to benefit their purpose. When are we going to get it? When are we going to understand? Have we ever think to read the verse below and above it when these pastors bring it to you? Are you willing to read the entire chapter to understand what he just said to you? I don't think we are doing that, because many of us not going to make it. In Colossians 2:20 said, if then you die with Messiah from the elementary matter of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to dogma? Why? Do not touch, do not taste, do not angle, which are all to perish, which use according to the command and teaching of men. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed worship, humiliation, and harsh treatment of the body, of no value at all, only for sanctification of the flesh. We got to take your word serious. We got to come back to this good book and stop listening to man, because man really taking you far, far away from your words. And their words, as I read earlier, is not your words. Their words is just their words. Timothy 1:10 said, for there are many unruly men, senseless talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths have to be stopped, who upset entire household, teaching what they should not teach, to gain. That's what they're doing. They're teaching these things for filthy gain. Filthy gain. You look at these pastors, the car they drive, the house they live in. They have plane helicopters and all those stuff. And you have people in their congregation who are starving, who are homeless. No pity for these people. Instead, they still force them to find money to bring into them. I know what you're saying is not something we guess in, is what's happening out there, because you know it for yourself. It's true, because that's what's going on out there to people, and that's why we need to read. That's why we don't need to just go to bed, wake up, run to work, come back, eat something, and run to bed again and sleep. And you just go right around a circle like that every day. We don't pay attention in the world. We don't pay attention in the news, what's going on. We don't know what's happening in the world, because we are in our own little world. It's time for us to come out of that little world that we put ourselves in. It's time for us to face the light. Come out of darkness, family, so you can see. You can see. You're going to know what's going on in the world. If you don't read this book, how else you going to know when they lie to you? How else? You will never know. Never know. 1 Timothy 6:3-4 says, if anyone teaches differently and does not agree to the sound word, those of our Master Yahushua Messiah, and to the teaching which is according to reverence, he is puffed up, understanding none at all, but is sick about questioning and verbal battle, from which envy, strife, slander, wicked suspicion, worthless dispute of men of corrupt mind, and deprived of the truth, who think that reverence is a mean of gain, withdrawn from such. Is that pretty clear, family? When you get a chance, go over and read 1 Timothy again, 6, all the way down. The description of what these wicked people are doing is clear in there. And it's now hard to see and know, because we face it constantly, every single day. Every day. And the reason why we do nothing about it, because we're not paying attention, we're not reading, we're not praying as we are to, neither of these sin of ours. So we just continue to just walk in that way. How else are you going to get salvation if you continue down the wicked path? If you don't try to get out of the things that they put on us. Slavery was bad enough. And many of our people, although not have been beaten, not have been subject to abuse, are still think they are still under that system. They cannot get themselves from under it. You know, family, we got to turn ourselves over to Yah. We got to cleanse ourselves of what was put on us. And the only person can do that and help us is Yah, through His Son. So we need to come to Him. We need to repent. Surrender. We need to come home. We need to, family. If we don't, the place we're going to end up not going to be beautiful, because we allow them to tell us who is Yah, and they're not giving us the right Yah. They're not giving us the right teaching. They are misleading us. They are taking us to hell, because that's where they are going. It said here in Acts 20:27-34, I keep not back from declaring to you all the counsel of Yah, Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the set apart spirit had made you overseer, to shepherd the assembly of you which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves shall come in among you, not sparing the flock. Hear that, family? There are savage wolves among us. Savage. You call them wolves because they're not sparing the flock. They come to take us out. They come to mislead us. They come to kill us. Also, from among yourself, men shall arise, speaking distorted teaching to draw away the taught one after themselves. Because many of us go into these assemblies, these churches, and we take part in what they are doing and what they are saying. And we get caught up. And it doesn't seem like it doesn't make a difference with those of us who are out here in the world who come to you with the truth. You do not want to have nothing to do with us. You do not want to hear it. You have a closed mind at this point, you know, because you're comfortable in the lies that have been told to you, and you partake of that lie. You're partaking of these lies. And if you don't let them go, you know, what you're doing, you are eventually turn around doing the same thing that they are doing. So you have to wake up, family. You have to wake up. It's time to wake up, man. It's really time. It said here in Ephesians 4:14, said, so that we should no longer be children, tossed and borne about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men, in cleverness, unto the craftiness of leading astray. Whoa. I need to read that again for your family because this is deep. Nothing is hidden. You have to make it clear to us. Said here in Ephesians 4, I'll read again 14, so that we should no longer be children, tossed and borne about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men, in cleverness. They are clever, family. Unto the craftiness of leading astray. But maintaining truth in love, we grow up in all respect into him who is the Messiah. They are clever. They are a trickster, family. They are a trickster. They're tricking us. You know, and we get caught up in it. We really do get caught up in it. In Matthew 7:15 reads, let me just find here, Matthew 7:15. But beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are savage wolves. By their fruit you shall know them. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or fig from thistle? So every good tree yield good fruit, but a rotten tree yield wicked fruit. Basically, what it's saying is not hard to see them. Although they come in wolf clothing, they expose themselves. Because if you're reading the Bible, if you're praying for understanding, getting understanding, they cannot have a blinder over your eyes. It's not hard to see them, but it's hard to see them when you are not prepared. When you are not reading your word. You understand me? It's hard to see them when you don't read for yourself. Because they are out there. They are like wolves. They are seeking to devour your people. And nothing will stop them but yeah. But there is a time for everything. So don't allow yourself to be devoured by these wicked wolves out there who are twisting your word and taking your money and sending you to hell. You got to wake up, family. You got to wake up and see. You know, And Satan has been confusing and perverting the word of Yah since the Garden of Eden. You know, and we know that because we know what happened to Allah back in the day. He's a liar, so is his teachers out here. They're lying. In Genesis 3:1-4, I sure you'll remember the story. It said, "And the Na'ash said to the woman, 'You shall certainly not die, for Yah knows that in the days you eat of it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like Yah, knowing good and evil.'" But you see, he failed to tell the woman that when she eats it, she's going to die. He never tells you the whole truth. He gives you a little truth and a whole lot of lies. Just a little. Enough to get your attention. And that's what happened to many of us. You know, just like sometimes we go to the Bible, somebody says, "Hey, read this passage or read this chapter." You know, and we go and they twist that one chapter and give us everything. And we fail to read the balance to see what it's really saying. So they're able to fool us. You know, these counterfeit pastors out there doing wickedness to your people. And we just lay and take it and just accept it. You know, it's got to stop sometime. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 said, "For such are false emissaries, deceptive workers, masquerading as emissary of Messiah. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as a messenger of light. And it's not surprising then if his servant also masquerades as servant of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." Isn't that what the pastor is doing? Masquerading as servant of Yah? They're masquerading. But they are not teaching your word. So that's what made them a masquerader, who come in their own way and come in their own teaching and their own will. You know, these counterfeit show signs. You know, these pastors who are counterfeit of the movement, you know, it's not too hard to see them because they show signs of pride, greed, and rebellion. They also engage in sexual immorality. In 2 Peter 2:14-15, it's read, "Having eyes filled with an adulteress and unable to cease from sin, enticing and stable being, having an heart trained in greed, children of a curse. Having left the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." They love sin, family. They love sin. They're not going to give up their sinfulness for righteousness. Because it's just really, they love it. And when people love something, they don't want to turn away from it. They want to stick with it. They want to stay with it. And they want to keep it. Revelation 2:19-22 says, "I know your works and love and service and belief and your endurance. And as for your work, the last are more than the first, but I hold against you that you allow that woman, Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, teach and lead my servant astray to commit warring and to eat food offered to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her warring, and she did not repent. See, I am thrown her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction unless they repent of their works." What I'm saying tonight, family, we all have sinned. And tonight, as the elders come, we are asking you to repent. Repent. Repent, family, repent. You know you are doing, you know right from wrong. And if the reason why you stop reading the Torah is because you don't want to know when you're gone wrong, then that is no excuse, because he sees and knows everything. There'll be no excuse for your ignorance, family. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, you know, because, you know, we're speaking the word of Yah tonight, and we just want to warn the people that are following, that are being, allowing themselves to get caught up in these wicked deceivers, what Yah has to say about it. You know, Yahushua had some things to say about these things too. So it's not just this is us. We just want to warn you, because that's our duty. Yah tells us elders to shepherd the flock, and that's what we're doing. We're going to teach this word, and we're not going to stop just because some demon out there, demon-filled person, is out there just for gain, filthy gain for himself, you know? And so we see a lot of that going on out there. And how do this just, we're concerned about our people, the nation of Israel, you know? It's time for us to wake up, come together in love, in the truth, you see? And not be out there just wandering around being led, you know, as though we ain't got sense enough ourselves to do our own research and study, you know, because it's important for us to come and get in this word for ourselves and make sure that we don't allow anybody, because Yahushua said, let nobody lead you astray, you know. That's one of the first things he said to the disciples, you know, let no man lead you astray. Now, he said that for a reason, because that's what he meant. You know, he said for many. And this is Matthew 24, verse 5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray. You know, in other words, they're going to come saying, I'm preaching the Messiah. Hey, yeah, you know, we're preaching the Messiah. But if they really preach it, are they really, if they're speaking against his laws, they're not. You know, that's why in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, he says to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, that is because there is no light in them, no daylight in them, okay? That means they are leading you into darkness, okay? And so you need to wake up, all right? And because what did he say? Yahushua was serious about this too. He said, look, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, he says, whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands, okay? Now, first of all,